Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. This is the 20th recording in this book, The Secret of the Love of God, which is being recorded in essence parallel to the reading and writing of the book on the morning call. So it's intended to be a support for anyone who is on the call, and of course anyone who cannot be on the call. It's a book that Sidi has asked us to read and write, and so I'm doing the best I can to write what I can and read everything I can and offer this out as a free gift. So we're currently on page 166 in this chapter, Essential Love, which is your being in the world of total annihilation. It's a beautiful chapter on love and conjugal love and love of the beloved, and I believe we can read the whole chapter, let's see, in this recording. Inshallah. A'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim, alhamdulillah rabbil alamin, arrahmanir rahim, maliki yawmiddin, إياك نعبد وإياك نستعين اهدنا الصراط المستقيم صراط الذين أنعمت عليهم غير المغضوب عليهم ولا الضالين آمين. Title of this chapter is Essential Love, which is your being in the world of total annihilation. And it is also a chapter from How the Arrival is Realized with People of Hearts and Souls and Intellects, from page 151 to 67 in that other book. So this is excerpted, actually I think it's taken in total out of that book. Know that love, mahabba, is of two kinds. There is eternal, kadim, love, and contingent, muqtath, love. This has to do with the two categories of existent beings. Kadim refers to that which is eternal and has always been around, and thus it can only refer to Allah. Muqtath refers to that which is produced, engendered and originated, and just as it is generated into being, it can also become non-existent again. So it is the opposite of eternal and thus contingent, and applies to everything else besides the eternal divine being. As for he who loves the eternal, if the love of the contingent enters in with love of the eternal, it corrupts that love. As for the one who loves the contingent, though, if love of the eternal is added with it, it revives that love. The one who loves the eternal is the lover of the real. As for the one who loves the contingent, then the objects of love can be numerous, and whenever such an object of love is joined alongside the love of the eternal, it corrupts the love of the eternal. In other words, introducing and including the love of the creation into the love of the Creator. As for introducing the love of the eternal upon the love of the contingent, this casts the love of the contingent out of the heart and renews the love. If someone asks, what about the love of the messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that not contingent? And has he not coupled his love with the love of Allah when he said, say, if you love Allah, then follow me, and Allah will love you, Quran 3:31. So he stipulated the condition that if they love him, Allah, they should follow after his messenger. And when they follow him, Muhammad, alayhi salam, as he deserves to be followed, he calls out from the holy presence, Allah will love you. So how can that be? The answer is that the lover of the eternal gave precedence to his love, and when this love and preference for it became sound and authentic, he came to love the noble contingent creature, like love of his prophets, alayhi salatu wasalam, out of respectful exaltation of the real and because he ordered it. The real made the condition upon them that they love the contingent for the purpose of honoring the contingent to the point that he combined love of him with love of him. As when he says, obey Allah and the Messenger, Quran 3:132. When the folk of Allah came to love Allah, they made claims in that love, all of which were sound, for the lover never lies about his love due to his sincerity and his annihilation. Some of them claimed his love. Others claimed his passionate love. Others claimed fana in him or in the love. Others claimed attachment to him. And others claimed absence of loyalty in love, out of humility. The Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wasallam, claimed, in relation to the divine, the quality of love and nothing else. And this is perfection in our view. And when love reached a high peak among the people of love, they came to employ terms such as annihilation, fana, and passionate love, ardor, ishq, which were not in use during the time of the Prophet. Their usage of these terms was sound because their love of Allah was sound, so they do not claim false claims. If someone asks, what is the judgment of passionate ardor if it falls between the slave and the Lord? Then we say, it is conceivable that the slave loves passionately, but it is inconceivable that the Lord loves passionately. And if one asks why this is, we say it is due to the fact that the meanings of passionate love evince a quality which is not confined only to love, mahabba. This is because the one who is passionately in love with a contingent creature sees it as the end-all and be-all of the contingent creatures, and as the summit of creation. And this is false because he gave the object of his passion more than is his due. So understand. Because of this passionate ardor, ishq, in our view, is a sickness of delusion which attacks the sick, feeble souls and is not proper for the tranquil, balanced soul at peace, no matter how intense that state of passion reaches. Except if it has that passion for the Lord Most High, and then it is accepted. As for passionate love coming from the real, this is totally rejected because this deficiency found in passionate love can never be a quality of the real, for he is not deficient in any way, nor is it appropriate. As for love, mahabba, then say yes, it can be soundly applied to him, because he says he loves, hub. He loves them and they love him, Quran 5:54, and that is perfection. Imam Junaid said, when one's love is sound, the stipulations of correct behavior, adab, fall away. Because of this, the folk of Allah coined their specific expressions in the context of their love of him. So they said what they said, and it was accepted of them and from them. As for the secret of love in the Quranic meaning, which is not passionate ardor, nor annihilation, it can accept meanings which other words cannot contain. So the meanings fall in it like falling into a deep ocean without a shore. And the folk of love wandered in this ocean as they wished, choosing whatever meaning and phrase they wanted to specify their inward meanings and states. As for the perfect one, he only employs love itself and nothing else in conformity to the Quran and prophetic traditions. As for annihilation and passionate love, they cannot be applied as attributes of the Lord, because they imply a deficiency, and he is above all deficiency. As for applying it to the creature, then it is accepted and used as such with the folk of Allah. Among the secrets of contingent, passionate love is the quality of annihilation in both the contingent creatures, the loved and the lover, and arising from this, their joining in both creations of this world and the next. And this is a great secret with us. When passionate love becomes great, there is no cure for it except the joining of the subject and object of the passionate love. Otherwise, if they do not join, both will be destroyed. And if one of the lovers dies, he is followed by the other and is sometimes buried with him. In addition, the joining of the arduous lover and beloved in both creations, this world and the next, also occurs with inanimate things and animals. About passionate love of inanimate objects, it has been said that two palm trees were opposite one another, and when one of them was cut down, the other died. As for the creatures claiming passionate love for the Lord, instead of another creature like itself, this is another matter, and it is inaccurate. Passionate love can only be applied between creatures due to the passionate affection and enjoyment in the human or animal sense, which the word implies, which means that passionate love can only occur between corporeal bodies. Therefore, it is rejected. It is rejected as a quality of the real Most High, for he is not a body, that he may have passionate love for something or receive passionate love. How could this be when he is exalted beyond all perception and comprehension? As for annihilation, fana, it is a higher attribute than passionate love, because the one in passionate love is attached to corporeal bodies by definition. As for the annihilated one, he has abandoned this limit and passed away in the beloved and left behind all outlines and limits of tangibility from his consideration. As for the lover, Muhib, he is more sublime than the passionate one or annihilated one, and is their master. In regards to the creature having passionate ardor for the eternal, who is the real Most High? He has claimed this sincerely and authentically from himself, even though it is essentially false, due to what we have discussed above about having passionate ardor for the Lord, because he is not a body. The least one can say is that he feels an abstract ardor towards something he has never seen, and this is a lofty station with us. As for the limits of divine love, there are none, and there is no shore to its ocean. The annihilated lover wanders and wanes in the love like scattered dust. As for the beloved, the real, he is the possessor of attributes in the love. And if the lover beholds the least of these qualities, he would be destroyed, and afterwards no attribute would return to him. Therefore, the lovers come to love the outward aspects of the qualities without beholding the inward aspects of the qualities. And when it is said to them that Allah is beautiful and loves beauty, they ask, well, what is his beauty? And they are answered, his beauty in this world is the appearance of his manifestation to Jali. As for the inner aspect of his beauty, it does not appear except in the hereafter, when he will manifest himself to them and they will behold him. And in that moment, they will behold the reality of his quality. As for this world, they do not behold this quality in its full reality, except for the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. During his ascension, he beheld the reality of that quality. And as for those who behold the divine qualities in the hereafter, they are situated in various stations in accordance to their stations in this world and their share of unveiling and tasting they have gained here. As for the claim of the one who claimed that love of the divine occupied him from loving Muhammad, the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, this is a defective, unsound claim, because attainment to Allah is not possible without his blessing. So much so that he coupled love of him with his love. As for claiming complete love of the divine, this is something very tremendous and not attained or comprehended except by Allah himself, for they did not measure him his true measure. Quran 6:91. The first perfect one in love is the Muhammadan reality, who ordered and categorized the levels and stations of love. So he loved himself in the deep, non-egoistic sense and loved his Lord. He used to exalt himself and say, "I am the master of the sons of Adam," without boast. And he used to send blessings down upon himself and clarify to us the way of sending blessings and greetings of peace upon himself. And this indeed is love. For none measured the love of the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, like the Messenger of Allah himself. This is love in its perfection, and this is perfection in love. Love for the sake of Allah is a station and grade among the lovers of rapture in the essence of the divine, and it was expressed by the Messenger of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, when he said, "The most noble of actions is to love in Allah and despise in Allah." As in for his sake. So love of the Messenger, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is a branch of the love of the divine, which is the root, and which causes one to attain to him. Similarly, love of the believers and the saints is a branch of the love of the divine, and love of parents is a branch of the love of the divine. These are descriptive qualities of the lover for the sake of the sublime essence. And Allah will not enable you to reach this stage except if you love for his sake, and that is a lofty station. If we come to the detailed description of the formation of love between the creature and the divine, we see an extraordinary thing in the manner in which the immense Divine One enables this weak, insignificant creature. The real did not enable him in love except because he loved him and was sincere in his love of him. So when the weak creature comes to the real with love, the real first trains him in proper courtesy, adab, so that the love can become sound and authentic. And when the love becomes sound, then the stipulations of proper courtesy are dropped. For in that realm of pure and sincere love, the proprieties of courtesy are no longer stipulated. And when the real disciplines the lover, let the lover be patient under the disciplining of the beloved. For the beloved who disciplines him is the real himself. And when the Lord deals with the creature in the arena of love, he finds great toil. For how could love be sound without tests and experiments? And we found the divine testing to be pure management, having no relation to humans and their self-management. For he says, "And Allah is the best of plotters," Quran 8:30, meaning planners. This divine management, which emerges from the realm of divine knowledge, is repressive of the passions of the ego self, of the aspirant, the murid, and its smoke. And when the smoke and flames of the nafs abate and disappear and the nafs become limpid, it is then that it submits to love and its laws and demands. This is a description of the aspirant's murid attainment, for when he despairs of his self and thus renunciates it, he attains the goal, and he remains like this under divine discipline and refining until the real blesses him with his grants, and he arrives after having toiled through the hardships of discipline in love. As for the quality of the Shaykh's treatment of the aspirant, murid, in love, it's of two types. The Shaykh who tests his aspirant, the murid, and the Shaykh who doesn't. The former is stronger and more important and more inclusive, and the Shaykh tests the aspirant, the murid, in love, as if through a rope from the divine management, which the aspirant murid does not see. And the testing and management of the Shaykh is knowledge concerning the fundamentals of discipline and refinement which Allah casts upon his hand. Know that the necessary precondition of love to be true is the attachment of the spirit, heart, and limbs to the beloved. Otherwise, the love cannot be sound with regard to the divine. As for the love of the divine, it is greater than the love of the creature and cannot be qualified or described because it is beyond the limit of qualification and description. Due to the real's infinitude, there is absolutely no qualification of his love. But as for the creature, he is within the limits of description. In addition, the Creator is more loving and more merciful than his creation, for he is merciful to his entire creation. The non-believer, the kafir, is like the believer, the mu'min, in that both are recipients of the divine mercy, but the non-believer is not loved because he has rebelled against Allah. Furthermore, the divine wisdom has decreed that the process of existentiation, the process of existentiation of the essences of creation be in mercy in accordance with his words. He has inscribed mercy upon himself, Quran 6:12, and my mercy encompasses all things, Quran 7:156, and my mercy has preceded my wrath. This precedence refers to the universal mercy and the partial love, and thus the creation proceeds from the universal essential mercy, and know that the foundations of mercy and love will become evident on the day of resurrection. Among the rarities of love is its taking on forms in the sensory realm, and the process of this imaginal formation is seen by the perfect among the people of love. Also, among the rarities of love is the melting of the lover under the strength of the love, and its revealing, tajali, itself to the form of the lover. But this is far from perfection, for the perfect one does not melt in his love because of his form, because his form withstands the love. And this was the state of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Also, if the lover is humbled and is increased in the station of humility, he melts and cannot stand the power of the station of love. Some ask, what is the judgment of divulging love and keeping it secret? I say that keeping love secret is a strong state and greater than disclosure, and none can bear secrecy concerning love except the powerful among the humans, because that state did not overflow in them. If it did, it would force them to disclose it and to express it. And secrecy, according to the lovers, is a powerful state, and its power derives from the power of the sincerity of the lover. So whenever the sincerity is strengthened, then the ability to maintain secrecy is strengthened. Also, divulgement is especially found among the people of beauty and those given special divine treatment. And know, O loved one, that the real love both secrecy and disclosure, and there are those who belong to each. So the one who keeps it secret considers the watching, the muraqaba, of the state of love, and the power of certitude, and the knowledge which the real has of his love, and concludes that there is no need to disclose, and secrecy is better and more upright. This is the state of the perfected ones who are firm like mountains. At the same time, the one who divulges his love considers that if he does not disclose his love but keeps it secret, then the secrecy will corrupt his love because he cannot patiently bear to keep it secret. So he divulges it. And if not, he feels as if destroyed. Such a one is especially cared for by the divine and set up in his beauty, and he discloses his love as he wills and expresses the nature of his ardor and the qualities of his moments. Such is the state of those specially cared for, the people of transparency and leniency and wonderment. My personal opinion is that expressing love is greater than keeping it secret. To keep the secret of love hidden is better than revealing it, but to disclose love itself is greater than keeping it hidden. And know that the sincere lover is the one who differentiates between the quality of the divine lover and the lover of contingent beings. With me, this has a special criteria of distinction. Fear and weakness are conspicuous in the lover of the divine. And the lover of contingent beings, although no consideration is paid to the outward aspects. Let me read that sentence again. Fear and weakness are conspicuous in the lover of the divine and the lover of contingent beings, although no consideration is paid to the outward aspects. However, the strength of spirit is not given to the latter in his bodily frame. The slim bodily frame of the lover of the divine has an indescribable strength of the spirit, such that you will see him stronger in his slimness than in his fatness, because of the dominance of the spirit over the body. Also, the divine lover is dominated by the divine will and the annihilation of the sum in the all. So he has no choice, no self-choice, except what comes from the divine choice of the real for him. And every lover of the divine essence is still maintained in the quality of his contingency in his love relationship. Even though he is contingent and should thus obliterate when faced with the eternal. But this is among the marvels of nature of the divine love. The lover of the divine has sciences of love which the people of knowledge are unable to describe or express. And know furthermore that the lover of the divine has such an energy of disposal and power of bodily frame from the spirit that if he wishes, he can burn away the worlds. And this is a quality of the perfect human, the Insan al-Kamil, and the Gnostic. And the people of love of the divine have a light upon the face which is not perceived by the people of the love of contingent things. Nor do the people of love of contingent things have any portion of this special light, because the love of the divine has specific soul authority over this light, exclusive of other types of love. And we found through our own unveiling and tasting that this light is the specifying mark of the people of love of the divine, and they are the most knowledgeable of this knowledge compared to other than them. And they have this light because they hold firmly to this love, no matter what tests or examinations they go through, because they know the immensity of his love. They know the immensity of his love and what they will find with the beloved. It brings us to 174, and I'm going to break this into two different segments. So we'll pick up again with the 21st reading. Inshallah. Assalamu alaikum.